You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
Mirror, it's perfect in what it shows. There isn't a part of your life that Scripture cannot guide. It'll help you in every one of your relationships. It'll help you in every aspect of your work. It'll help you plan for the future. It'll help you be a good witness to your neighbor, deal with difficult people, serve in your church, learn to use your spiritual gifts, handle your emotions, tell you how to think, inspire your faith, give you a goal for your life. It's got it all. It's a perfect law. It's also the law of liberty, notice. It's not only perfect, it's freeing.
James exhorts you, as you look into the mirror of Scripture, to not forget what God teaches and challenges you with. If you are inattentive or insincere when you read the Bible, or if you disregard what He says to you, you are forgetting God's Word. Instead, as Pastor Tom will teach you today, meditate on it, apply it, let God's Word change you. When you do this, it's an expression of love for God, and you will experience a freedom that can only come from the transforming Word of God. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Scriptural Application, Why It Is Vital.
The danger of growing up in a Christian home is you hear it and hear it and hear it, and you think because of hearing it you know it, and you don't know it until you practice it. And that's why some Christian kids growing up in Christian homes and even going to a Christian school are the most dull in listening to the Bible. Someone outside of that hearing it for the first time is excited about it because they understand the value. But through the years, the so-called Christian child has just been muffling it and dulling it. By the way, if you've been to a Bible college, you know, don't wear that as a badge. I went to a Bible college. Good. Why'd you go to a Bible college? To be trained in Bible better than other folks. What does that mean for you? That means you need to put it into practice so other people could see it, right? Inspire others. Well, look at the illustration of the negative reason here in verse 23 that James gives. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. So that's the illustration of listening but remaining inactive. The if is a first-class conditional statement. It assumes the existence of someone like this, if someone is like this, and there are some that are like that. They look at a mirror. We talked about mirrors before. They had them in BC days. Often they were constructed from copper or polished bronze, if you're richer, gold or silver. The glass mirrors came later in Roman history. And just like today, they would look at their face in the mirror. They might shave, comb their hair. The illustration says a man looks at the mirror. That's a present active participle, showing that it was a characteristic activity to go to a mirror periodically and look at the mirror and see what he saw. What he sees is his face, really literally the face of his genesis. That means the face he was born with or his natural face. It implies that there's something there as he looks into the mirror that should have been taken care of. You look in the mirror and there's something there that needs to be fixed. Okay, sort of implying that. We do that. We look in the mirror and we see the spots, the wrinkles, the blights, the problems with the hair, whatever. But then we walk away and don't do anything about it. That's the point. By the way, the word look in verses 23 there does in 24 does not mean a quick glance. It's not that he makes a quick glance in a mirror and then forgets. That's not the point. Actually, that verb means that someone looks with contemplation. It's the verb katanoeo. It's a strengthened form of the verb looking. So the comparison is not between someone making a quick glance in the mirror and someone taking a prolonged gaze into the Word of God. Both words actually mean they took some time to look into it. Will Varner brings this up. He says, the contrast in this little parable is not between the way in which the two verbs look at their respective objects. The real difference between the two is that the first person, looking in the mirror, forgets what he saw. And the second person, looking in the Word of God, the good guy, perseveres in his look and does not forget what he saw. It's about the forgetting, and we'll get to that. So this person looking in the mirror looks, but then immediately goes away and immediately forgets. His mind, poof, goes off to something else. Presumably, he has other things to do in the day, and he goes and he does that, and he's forgot all about his face and the problem on his face. How ugly he looks today. The servants see it. He's going to work with the servants in his house. And he's going to get all these things done. 1 hour turns into another hour. And he's just gone. He forgot. That's the point of the illustration. He forgets. Bringing it to the word then doesn't mean that much to him. He took a look. He may have taken a long look, but he didn't do anything about it. The implication is he heard the word. He heard the word well. He just didn't let the word impact him. His hearing really got him nothing as far as the power of God goes. No matter how he looks, he goes and forgets. Forgetting is the problem. Forgetting is the sin. Because forgetting shows he didn't care enough about the word to make sure he didn't forget. By the way, you don't forget the things that are really important to you. You know that, right? Right now, you got a list of things in your head, and the thing that is most crucial, you haven't forgotten it. I'll bet you haven't. I bet you remember it right now. I bet you're thinking about it right this second. It's that important. Tomorrow, you better not forget to, you know it, don't you? You remember the things that are most important to you. And that's what's a sin to not put the word into practice, because it should be most important. We often say, well, you know, I just forgot. I dash into the day and my week got busy and no. Let's not say that. Come on now. Because I've used the same excuse. So I know that's self-deception. What should we say? It wasn't important enough to me. Instead of being transformed by what you saw in God's mirror, the Bible, instead of purposefully and seriously asking yourself while you're being taught the Bible, what does God want me to learn today? That's the question. What should I apply? You can't apply every single thing said in every sermon, but you should be listening. Something will speak. Something will hit home. Something needs adjustment. Something may just rejoice your heart. Something may correct your thinking. Something may step all over your big toes. Something is in there. Something. Be listening. Is this not a reoccurring problem for some of us? Sunday message is over, out in the foyer, 12 minutes afterwards. What was the message about? I don't know. Well, it was a great message. It was on, it was about the Bible, and it was the Word, and it was really great. You know what you should do? You looked in the mirror, you saw it, but didn't do anything about it. John MacArthur, a person who looks at God's word, even if it is carefully and accurately done, and yet does not apply the truths he has discovered to his own life, is like someone who immediately forgets what he has just seen in a mirror, except the consequences are immeasurably worse. He sees his sin portrayed for the horrible evil that it is, and he also sees God's gracious provision in Christ for a remedy, yet he goes on his way as if he were never exposed to those realities. How tragic. Because we're talking about God's voice in the mighty scriptures to us, beloved. Scripture and doctrine are profound. They are to shape our lives. They carry weight. Much more important than how our face looks. You can't change your face that much anyway. You can change your character a lot. The mirror only works outwardly. God's word gets deep. Hebrews 4:12, right? The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. It gets way down in there. So it's worse to neglect the word of God. Scripture is, we talk about the means of grace. How can I be sanctified? How can I grow? How can I be blessed by God? And the answer is we have means of grace. The primary means of grace is the word of God. The Spirit of God will use the word of God more than any other tool to sanctify you. So to neglect it, to become dull in hearing, hurts that whole process. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, he's talking about truth from Scripture there, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We keep looking into that mirror, the Word of God, and it transforms us over and over from glory to glory as we are changed and changed and changed to be more and more like Christ. That's what Scripture does. It's a means of grace. Scripture works along with our conscience. We have a conscience in there. We all have a conscience. The conscience is self-aware. The conscience judges whether or not your thoughts are good, your actions are good or bad, your words are good or bad. Your conscience is working, but your conscience is only so good. Your conscience tells you there's right and wrong, but it doesn't tell you what's right and wrong. You have to get the what from somewhere else, the Bible. The Bible then tells you this is right and wrong. This is a blessing. This is the better way to think. This is a way to act in faith. No, that's doubting God. No, that's anxiety. And then your conscience gets help from the Bible and the Spirit is in there working that whole thing out. And then there's something very powerful and dynamic that happens as a believer listens to the Word of God. And it transforms us. R. Kent Hughes writes, though I had an active conscience before coming to God's word, I only saw dimly what I was, but the mirror of God's word revealed the truth and continues to do the same. So all of that then is the negative reason. That's what happens if you don't apply God's word. Next comes the positive reason in verse 25. And here we reach a little bit of a crescendo in James's emotion here, kind of a height he takes us to. This is how you should want to be. Verse 25, but one, notice the contrast, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man, there's a little emphasis on that. This man, the obedient man, the doer of the word, that man will be, and here's what we all want, the blessing. Will be blessed in what he does. The blessing of God comes for the obedient. Lord, why is my life not all that blessed? And why is my life not all that happy? And why is it that I'm not really learning what I ought to be learning? The answer comes, not obeying. Doesn't have to be so simple all the time. Why can't you give me a complicated answer so I can feel a little bit better about myself? Oh, you're not trusting me and you're not obeying. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus, right? There's no other way. You got another way? Anyone got another way? You can be very blessed, just like anybody else. It's not like this is true for only some people, those who have their birthdays in February. Only some people, those who have attended church for 25 years or more. This is anybody. This is indiscriminate. If you would be obedient, God would bring his blessing. You'd go beyond many of us. Isn't that wonderful? Ain't nothing holding you back. Ain't nothing holding you back except you. Me. Stubbornness. This is exciting. I can have blessing. I can have a lot of blessing. God can be blessed in my life. I will be blessed. Why? Just obey. Just do it. There'll be blessing there. You say, but, you know, sometimes I obey and things get worse in my life. Yeah, but the blessing's coming. You have to trust God. You have to keep obeying. That's why it says abides in it, right? So this person here, let's go back and look at this more carefully. Unlike that forgetter, this one looks intently in the perfect law, the Bible, Scripture, the gospel is being called a perfect law. And he remembers it and he practices it and he's blessed. Now, looking in there, that verb, parakupto, means to look very closely at, almost like you're bending over and looking at it carefully. It's the verb that was used of Mary Magdalene when she had to take a second look back into the empty tomb to make sure that was really empty in there. And she was weeping, but she wanted to make sure. So the person is looking in the scripture, and they're leaning forward, and they're trying to see something there, you see? What do I see there? What do I need there for me? To have a quiet time for you, not for somebody else. Learn to use Scripture in such a way that it changes you. You know what you need to hear. Learn it where you need to learn it. Go after the weak areas. Work on those things. Peer into it, wanting something in there to change you. Examine it. Be gripped by what you see. What does he see? He sees the perfect law. James calls Scripture here, the gospel of Jesus, the perfect law. Law in the positive sense, carrying the authority of God. But it's perfect. Teleos. It's been brought to its end. It's complete. Before he called the Word of God the Word, now he calls it law. Scripture is law. It has that quality of being law. It has law without the article here, so it talks about the quality of it being law. It's good law. It's authority for you. It's commands to take you in the way that you ought to go. By calling it law, James is showing how authoritative Scripture is, that it's meant to guide you. What are good laws are made to help protect people, right? That's what this is about. Scripture is authoritative. Scripture is foundational. Doctrine comes with authority from the Word of God. Christians are to believe, embrace, and accept truth and put themselves under it. It's a law for their life. He'll go on to talk about the Scripture as law in chapter 2, verses 8 and 12 and on that. But he calls this a perfect law. Scripture, in other words, is fully capable of doing all that it was intended to do. It's complete. It's been completely delivered. It's effective in our lives. It embodies all that we are to know and to practice. It's God's final statement and information to us. Scripture's not just an idea. It's not just one little source. It's not just one shop to shop in. It's the whole thing. The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 19:7. Restoring the soul, does everything that you need. Anything that you need in your life, it's already in there. When you look into this mirror, it's perfect in what it shows. There isn't a part of your life that Scripture cannot guide. It'll help you in every one of your relationships. It'll help you in every aspect of your work. It'll help you plan for the future. It'll help you be a good witness to your neighbor, deal with difficult people, serve in your church, learn to use your spiritual gifts, handle your emotions, tell you how to think, inspire your faith, give you a goal for your life. It's got it all. It's a perfect law. It's also the law of liberty, notice. It's not only perfect, it's freeing. It's the law that brings liberation. Isn't that a paradox? Wait a minute, I have to obey this law and you're telling me I'm free? That's exactly what he's saying. See, we think the wrong ways. We keep thinking that if God gives a law, and this is one of Satan's greatest tricks, if God gives a law, then I'm going to be like all bound and unhappy and restricted if I go over there and start obeying it. And when you think that, Satan's right behind you just laughing because you just bought his lie. No, that's where freedom is, under his law. You think, no, I'm going to be free if I do it my way. No, you are in bondage now. You're in the prison house. God's trying to get you out. No, but I want to just listen to myself. This is what I want to do. Fine then, sit in your prison house. You'll find out later you're shackled. You'll miss the experience because you thought Satan had greater character and you could trust his word more than God, his character, and his word. So that's what you deserve. You deserve to sit in there. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. The law sets us free because it's truth. Embrace the law of Christ. Now, we're not talking about legalism in the Old Testament law. He's talking about the law of Christ here, the perfect law. This is his law that brings freedom. It's the law that says love one another. It's a commandment. Remember, Jesus said, this is the commandment that I give to you, that you love one another. It's law. It's the law of Christ. It's freeing. Love God. When you submit to the law of Christ, do what it says, you're free. Some people want to wait until they feel free to obey. Well, now I'm really feeling something, so I'm going to start obeying. Well, the reason you don't feel free is you've been disobedient. What you should be waiting for is start obeying, and then the feelings will catch up. You know, just start walking in the pathway. The first few steps, you're not going to feel some mighty change. It's as you walk further with Christ, those feelings catch up. And then it's fun. It's exciting. Dr. Hebert says, men are free when they want to do what they ought to do. I love that quote. I love that quote. Men are free when they want to do what they ought to do. There's no conflict between your heart, your mind, your conscience, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Everything's moving in the same direction. You're like a locomotive full steam ahead, and you're free. You're sailing. That's freedom. The truth is God's perfect law, and it sets you free. Living the will of God sets you free from living the foolish will you've been following up till now, because you thought you were free, but you're not. When we don't buck against God, we find happiness. Why should God give you peace and joy and happiness when you don't do his will? Why should he? Why are you asking for it? Lord, today, bless my disobedience. Make it work well. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. When you want to do what you ought to do, you're free. You're free. The blessed man understands that. He's not a forgetful hearer. Oh, yes, he hears like everybody else, but his hearing is the kind that doesn't forget. Like I said, people don't forget what's most important to them. To blame forgetting on a bad memory is to cover for a heart that's really not all that excited to do the will of God. Forgetting is not just failing to remember, people. Forgetting is neglect. Forgetting is inattention. Forgetting is lack of focus. Forgetting is listening insincerely. Forgetting in the Old Testament was a big deal. God made a big deal about forgetting. He said, when you forget, you are not being faithful to the covenant I made with you. It wasn't just, oh, hey, my people forgot. I guess I better go remind them. No, it was like you forgot, and so you're not faithful. We made a covenant, and you forgot the covenant. Imagine a man coming home. Wife says, you were caught in adultery. Huh? Oh, yeah, I forgot we were married. I forgot. You know? Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. That's Deuteronomy 4:9. Deuteronomy 8:14. Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Psalm 9:17. The wicked will return to Sheol, even all the nations who forget God. How does God view the nations? They forgot him. They were unfaithful to him. Think he has the right to punish them? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He believes he has the right to punish them because they forgot him and his word. But this person will not let the word slip away. He doesn't pass the buck. It's his responsibility to hear it. It's his responsibility to remember it, and he does. He is an effectual doer. This is how he lives. The blessing is in meditating of the word of God, listening to the word of God in such a way that you end up doing it. Remember Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. It's not, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you can get all the questions right on the trivia next week. It's you meditate on it to do it. What should we be doing when we're hearing the word of God? Give me something that I need to do and change and understand. I want to be active in this. I want my spirit engaged with the Holy Spirit and his book. That's what we're doing here. Jesus set the example of washing the disciples' feet. And then he said, you know, the slave is not greater than the master. Neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. And then he said to his disciples, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. No blessing if you don't do them. There's no blessing if you know them. There's blessing if you do them. Go wash one another's feet. Do it. You'll have a blessing. There it is. That's the secret to the Christian life. There it is. You got the secret to the Christian life. Be obedient. You'll be happy. You'll see. It's only with the doing. It's not with the meditating. It's with the meditating to do the do, and then do the doing the doing, and then feeling and experiencing the blessing. Beloved, it is not legalism to love God from your heart and to obey his word. That actually is an expression of love for God. Only a man like this can be blessed by God. Only a man like that can be blessed by Almighty God, a man who takes his word seriously and obeys it.
The mirror of God's word is perfect. It will help you in every area of life if you let it. It is freedom, despite what the devil would like to trick you into believing. It can inspire and grow your faith. Through it, you learn the heart of God Almighty. It will guide your relationships. Pastor Tom beautifully explained the freedom and power of the Word of God and the incredible help it is to those who read it and take it to heart and actively do what it says. We're blessed to be able to share the good news of the gospel with our listeners through the ministry of Discover Hope. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet, or if you have more questions, we invite you to visit the What Does It Mean to Be a Christian page under the About Us at hopebible.org. This will provide you with a concise description of why you need Jesus in your life and how you can be free from sin. We'd like to speak and pray with you too, so please give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. Again, that's 443-200-HOPE. Do you consider yourself religious? Outward expression of religion is only important if they indicate your true internal character if you're a believer. Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will describe some of the identifying internal factors that should come from you if you consider your faith genuine. Can you control your tongue, help the helpless, and keep yourself unstained by the world? Without these, your religion is worthless. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Discover Hope. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hopebiblechurch.org. And be sure to join us again right here on Discover Hope.